Well, good evening. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 3, where we left off last time together, Colossians chapter 3. Are you all there? Those of you that have the electronic Bibles, I hope you had to turn there. Because if you didn't, you know what I know? You didn't read your Bible since last week. Oh, man, busted. Just praying for you. You know, we all struggle with it, including me. We all struggle with it. Because the enemy doesn't want us to read this. He wants us to do anything and everything else. So you got to win. And you have won in Christ. So, Colossians chapter 3, and let's pray before we begin our study. Lord, we are so thankful for this place to come to that you've blessed us with, to be able to gather and, Lord, to worship you. And Father, hopefully as free from distraction as can be, Lord. And Lord, we know that even though there may not be distractions around us many times or with the facility or the technology, Lord, there certainly can be distractions in our minds. And so, Lord, for that reason, we ask you, Lord, to help us to come before you right now and just still our hearts, just quiet the thoughts and the cares of the day that would distract, the concerns of tomorrow, Lord, that we would, Lord, just set those aside, and God, that we would tune in, because your word, Lord, is it's spirit, it's life. Lord, there's power to change, there's wisdom, Lord, to walk and to live a life, Lord, abundantly that you have designed and desire for us as your children. And Lord, as your word says, be still and know that I'm God. May we be still at your feet. And God, may you again anoint me and Lord, to share and to teach your word. And may you, as always, anoint the ears of the listeners to hear, that we might grow, that we might know more fully the life that you've called us to, the victory that we've received at the cross. And we'll give you the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember in this last chapter, chapter 2, that we were studying here, we only got to verse 2 of chapter 3 last time, we saw Paul looking at the false teachers and dealing with the false doctrine that was being taught there and beginning to infiltrate the church. And Paul then is writing there, trying to correct that. And he says, let no one cheat you. Don't be ripped off by this false teaching. Let not people judge you by just outward appearances, and let them not put any laws and legalities upon you, and let no one cheat you through, you know, any kind of religious mysticism and secret things. You know, listen, God has spoken in His Word, and we need to hear what He says. Let us walk in an attitude of gratitude, as we saw in that chapter, and then Paul moves on, and he moves out of the false doctrine. A good teacher, Bible teacher, will not only teach you and show you about the things that are wrong and false teachings and deal with those, but he will also show you what is right and how to walk and live our lives as Christians. And so we started last time together where Paul says, you need to seek things that are heavenly. Seek things that are above. If you've been risen with Christ, then seek those things that are above. And those things are eternal in contrast with the things below, as we saw last time together, where sadly many of us get distracted and spend a lot of our time seeking and spending most of our effort and energy, unfortunately, trying to satisfy with things below that cannot really satisfy, you see. And so Paul's encouraging them to move beyond that and press towards that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, setting our affection on those things, to keep on thinking, not only to start thinking about those things, but to keep on thinking. That's the discipline, isn't it? To come here, and we're talking about heavenly things, and we focus on God's Word and spiritual things and heavenly things. Great stuff. We need to do that. We need to pay attention to that. But listen, when you walk out of these doors, now you walk into a world that is seeking things below. So guess what? The challenge is on. Are you going to start to keep thinking rightly on things above and setting your affection on things above? Or are you going to get distracted? And of course, you know, when you're walking and you get distracted and you're not seeking the things above, guess what happens? You bump into all kinds of poles and junk on the way, you know, like doing text messages when you should be paying attention, and you're walking and you see people do this. They run into poles. They go out in front of cars. I mean, it's crazy. But that's what happens with us. God said, hey, pay attention up here. And we're going, okay, God, but this is cool. You know, boom, well, okay. Oh, God, why did I get hurt? Well, you're looking in the wrong place. You see, if you're walking, you need to be paying attention. And we need to think on those things above the earth and not on the things below, you see. And, of course, there's reasons for that. And Paul gives those reasons here as we open our text and pick it up here in verse 2. Let's pick it up there. Well, let's just do verse 1 to catch the flow. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. Now, I'm in the right chapter, right? Yeah. No, I'm not in the right chapter. Aha! Ha ha! Caught it that time. You caught it too, but I caught it. But see, I started going, I'm going, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Okay, so it says, if you then were raised with Christ, how's that? Is that what yours says? This guy's getting old, that's all there is to it. Okay, so if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, note, set your mind. That's again, focus it, keep it there. Don't get distracted on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now why? Five reasons are given here for heavenly thinking. First of all, he says here, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You as a believer in Christ now, you died. You are no longer a slave to your passions and your feelings and, you know, the things on this earth that enslave people. And they got a word for it today. They call it addiction. Okay? That's what happens apart from Christ. As I've said many times, the only safe addiction that you can ever have, the only addiction that can ever work just wonderful, amazing things in your life and just bless your life is an addiction to Jesus Christ. And the world will say everything they can to keep you from, you're fanatical, you're radical, you're like addicted to that stuff. Yeah, and I'm free. You see, if I'm addicted, I'm free. That's the only one. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Every other addiction will enslave you and tear you apart. And Jesus is saying, Paul is saying rather, that the Lord doesn't want us to go back to that kind of life, that life that we lived before. We are not obligated. We are not stuck and without hope for change and God working in our lives. We are not slaves to the legalism of this world, to the things of this world. And just as a wife, as the scripture says, is loosed when her husband dies, he says, the Bible says, when he dies, if your husband dies till death do us part, you are no longer bound to your husband. You are free. That's the same kind of freedom that we have in Christ. We are free to go about. We're no longer bound by that law. We are not bound by those vows any longer, you see. Dead to the law because of what Christ has done to us. And then we see here, not only have we died, you see, but in Christ, but we are hid with Christ in God. That speaks of the safety and security that we have as believers. We are hidden there. We don't have to worry about someone coming along and snatching us out of the care and keeping of God. He now has us as His possession. We now belong to Him. We are hid in Him. And so, hey, any accusation the enemy brings against us doesn't stick to us, because when the Father looks at us, what does He see? Not my sin, your failures. He sees His Son. And we are robed in His righteousness. Not because you have it together or I have it together, but because we are in Christ and He's together. Guess what? Man, we're right on with God. The Father doesn't look at us and go, bad. You know, none of that stuff. The thunder and lightning storms that you thought were, as a little kid, were judgment, aren't anymore. Because you've been hid, you see, in Christ. And then we go on here. It says that when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Third, it says here, Christ is the very life of the believer. He is our life. He is the bread of heaven. He is the bread of that we as believers must eat of. That's why we read in the Word, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must feast on the bread of life. Jesus, He's the Word, isn't He? The words that I speak to you as I prayed, they are spirit and they are life, you see. So we need to feast, as I shared with you. We need to feast on God's Word. We need to continue to feed on God's Word. And as He is the living vine and we are the branches, we draw our strength and our vitality and our life, not from feeding on TV, not from feeding on the newscasts, not from feeding on pleasure, but from feeding on the Word of God. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. That's where you're going to find satisfaction. That's where, well, I don't know about you, but me, I've gone to see certain movies. You pay your money, overpriced. Thank God for the senior citizen discount now. Overpriced, though, and then you pay a premium for popcorn. You could have bought a whole case at Costco for what you pay for one small one. And then the soda, you, again, could have brought a whole case for the price of one small one. I suppose they have to make their money. And you know that going in, so, hey. I mean, that's just the price of seeing a movie, isn't it? Well, it's only, you know, the discount ticket is only only $6, $7, $8, you know, and if you want to see 3D, of course, $13, but you can see it in 3D. Yeah, but that's before popcorn and before soda. And I've sat at that movie theater anticipating, expecting to see a great movie because of the few excerpts. It looks pretty funny when you watch the little kind of outtakes they do on TV, and you're going to go, that looks like a fun movie. And so you go sit there, and guess what you find out? It's over. At the end, you go, every funny part in that movie was on TV. And it was horrible. And I wasted a couple of hours and a lot of money on this stupid... I feel ripped off. I don't know. You ever do that? You ever feel ripped off? God, what a stinking waste that was. Maybe it's just my miserly personality. I have never sat down to read my Bible and spent any amount of time in that and walked away feeling like, oh, that was like a waste of time and energy. You know what? I've always been strengthened and blessed and challenged and enriched by the time I spent in God's Word. Precious people, we draw our life from Christ, who is the Word of God, the bread of life. But fourthly, we see here that it says that not only it says when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. When He appears, guess what? We're making our appearance with Him. Hey, who would you like to appear with? Think of movie stars. Think of maybe athletes. Amen. I'd like to appear in front of my friends with, and you fill in the blank. That would be impressive. Listen, there's no greater one that you and I could appear with than Jesus Christ. Man, I want to do everything I can. I want to continue to move ahead so that I, when I appear with Christ, man, I get to make that appearance. And what a great thing, what a wonderful, amazing time that will be. When those who looked at us previously and maybe mocked us and harassed us and, oh, you Christians, oh, you, and maybe hostile to us and did things, everything they could to hurt us and cast us aside, when the day comes and there they are and we're standing with Jesus on His side and they're standing going, uh-oh. Listen, if you're in that place tonight and you're not on His side, can I tell you right now, you better not walk out of these doors until you get right. Because here's the deal. We're going to make an appearance with the most impressive person in the history of creation. And that is Jesus Christ. Not because of our own goodness, but because of His grace, you see. And what an appearance that will be. A day I'm looking forward to greatly. Whenever He appears, we're going to appear with Him. And then it says here, fifthly, therefore, whenever there's a therefore, boy, that every time I say that word, it reminds me of the failure I had a couple weeks ago when I started out in the wrong passage. It's weird how I go, yeah, boy, that was a stupid thing you did. You made like Todd on that a big hit. So anyhow, whenever there's a therefore, find out what it's. Okay. Because of the appearance we're going to make with Christ. Because, you see, we are hidden in Him. Because we draw our very life from Him. He is our life, our reason for living. Thank God we have a solid reason for living. He says, therefore, do what? Now respond to what you've been given. And do what? Put to death your members which are on the earth. You see, there's a process that God is working in our lives presently. And that is putting to death or putting off the old man, that old sin nature. This body of flesh. Put it off, put it away, you know, and you know, put to death. Don't allow these things. Don't live for your passions and be enslaved whether they be, you know, sensual, whether they be, you know, into foods and into having the greatest, latest stuff and gadgetry, whether it be, you know, you being in control and powerful and thought well of, man, don't live for that stuff. Don't let that control your life. Don't be a slave to your feelings and your affection. Now listen, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean we can't have feelings and affections. But just don't use them to be your guide or to be your decision maker. You need to be a slave and submitted to Jesus Christ. You see, that's the key. I have feelings, I have affections, I have passions, but I must take those that are within my body and submit them to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and say, God, what's the right thing to do here? Here's how I feel. Okay, it's not bad to feel. We don't want to turn into robots. I mean, that would be horrible. You know, just kind of just mimicking and mouthing and no real passion or feelings. We don't want to turn off our feelings or not experience things in life and passions. Listen, God has created us in that way. But we must be careful that those passions and those feelings do not make the decisions in our life. We must take all of those and submit them to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In other words, we need to live out heaven on earth. And here in the remainder of the chapter, what he does is he lays out how we should live on earth. And he says there, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, or like that old King James word, evil concupiscence or something like that. It was always hard for me to pronounce then, and so I'm glad to have the new King James. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Five sins are listed here that we are to put off. In other words, we're going to have the temptation. We are going to have the emotion, the desire is going to hit us, but we cannot submit ourselves to those things. We must submit ourselves to conduct our lives as God has set forth. And so watch out. Put to death fornication. Now the Greek word is porneia, and it's a word that is just a general word for for all kinds of sexual immorality. Just like, you know, we talk about porn today. Is that excluded to, you know, same sex? Is that excluded to? It's not. It describes every sexual sin and the gamut of it. Any sex outside of marriage. Paul is saying here, we should not be living in that kind of a relationship. Period. Man, woman, whatever the situation is, young, old, listen, to live in the lust for a relationship outside of marriage sexually, no matter what kind it is something that we are to put to death. Doesn't mean you won't be hit with the temptation, but don't engage, even especially, because it all starts here in the mind, see? It all starts here. That's why Jesus said, hey, you've heard it say, you shall not commit adultery, and basically, what he's doing is putting the Pharisees in their place. And he says, you guys think you're not guilty of sin and you're so righteous and holy because you haven't actually with your flesh gone out and got a woman and actually did the physical act. He says, but I'll tell you what, here's the real deal, guys. You want to see what sin is? I say, if you look upon another woman or man to lust after them, And you begin, as you look, you can't maybe avoid the first look, but you should not look again, and you should not make the first look a long one, okay? Okay, I won't look twice. I'll just look a long time the first time. No. That's not it. You know what? You look, boom. That's not good. And then you turn. That's what Job is talking about when he says, and God, you know, I mean, he knows that it enters in through the eyes, the temptation there, especially for the guys. Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look on a woman in that way. And men, you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, you can make all the excuses you want to make. But God's word says we must resist the enemy. We must turn. We must make a covenant. When, boom, first look, whoa. And then we do not intentionally, do not look back. And everything in you may scream, oh, just, it's not going to hurt. That's what Satan does, doesn't he? It's not going to hurt you just like you with the ladies. Well, it's not going to hurt me just to talk to this guy at work. I mean, it's not, but he is kind of handsome and he seems a lot kinder than my husband. And he, yeah, that's always the way it starts. Little thing in the mind and a little flirting and a little taking a second look, talking a little bit longer. And you know what, man? It's not long before fornication, and it starts in the heart, head to the heart, and then it becomes the act. Paul is warning us here, if we are going to walk as God would have us walk, you see, then we need to avoid that. Uncleanness. Now that speaks of moral impurity of all kinds, in all forms. Filthy mind, full of sensuality, suggestive thoughts and humor, illicit sex of any kind. There are people that have a way to bring perverted kind of things and innuendos into any conversation. You ever met anybody like that? Their minds are constantly just cesspools. It's amazing today to me, is it not to you, how we have a huge move to get our foods organic and wholesome and clean and without any kind of pollution and all natural. And we want our kids to grow up with all the right foods and vitamins and to be strong and healthy physically. But let me ask you a question. How's the mind filter? We are like worshiping the body in the sense we're all concerned about what's going on physically, and yet your child, if you're not careful, can go on that internet and find the most horrendous perversity to pollute their mind and destroy their innocence. And there's nothing being said when anybody says, well, we need to censor this and be able to keep children from it. When that is even suggested, what do they say? No, freedom. Freedom of perversion. Great. I'm sure that the porn on the internet is exactly what the forefathers of this country had in mind when they were talking about freedom of speech, aren't you? Freedom of expression. You think that's what Benny and the boys were thinking about when they were signing that thing? I don't think so. Not at all. But you see, that's where we've gone. We want the foods, you know, we got all kinds of regulations there, FDA and all these things. But when it comes to the mind, we are wholesale sold out to the ultimate and continual, actually, pollution of the mind through every form of media we have. It's there, isn't it? And Paul is saying that kind of stuff, man, don't move into that place. Don't read stories that are questionable and books that are going to cause you to think things and see certain movies that, you know, a lot of times, if you ever notice, there's this guy, this couple, they're married, you know, and the husband's an idiot, and she meets somebody who, you know, he's the nicest guy and nicest thing, and you actually end up feeling glad that she went with him. What? They fornicated, they divorced, and so you're excited about it? But it pulls on your heartstrings, doesn't it? They kind of lure you in, kind of seduce you to thinking, oh, I feel good about that. Really. You see, it's so subtle, isn't it? They play with your emotions. Put that stuff away. Lusts of the heart leads to dishonoring your body, ultimately. Then he goes on, he says, put away uncleanness and passion. It's in the King James, it's inordinate affection that, again, it has to do with the same thing, erotic love. You get the idea that Paul is pretty well acquainted with what leads to a lot of pretty serious problems and messes up a lot of Christians. You see, that inordinate affection or ungodly or misdirected passion, desire for one's own sensual gratification. And listen, it's both heterosexual and homosexual in character. Paul says, put that stuff off. Again, the reason that we look and the scriptures and even history records one of the things about same-sex marriage, if you would, and homosexuality, it's a sin. It's not worse than adultery or anything else in the realm of sin. But it is a sin that's a sign. What do you mean by that? What we mean by that is, you know what? What has happened in this kind of a situation is that, I don't know if you know this or not. For those of you single people, you don't, and you don't need to know this yet. But the bottom line is men and women approach sex differently. Did you know that? If you don't, you know, I mean, you'll see me in your premarriage counseling, and I'll, that's my part. None of the other guys wanted to do it. So now you do the sex thing. We don't want to do that. So you know what? I mean, I get that part. So you'll be seeing me and we'll talk about it. But the bottom line is you know what? Men and women are different, not in their desire sexually or their fulfillment of the relationship sexually, but the way they approach it, you see, are completely different. And so if you're going to have a good relationship between a man and a woman, there's got to be communication because men don't usually know what they're doing, even if you think you do, without the woman communicating. You see? And so if things aren't going on there, you're going to have some problems. And what happens is that, well, they get hardened. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to talk and be patient and learn and how to make love to a woman for a lifetime. So you know what they do? They go, that's it. You know what? I'm done with men. They don't know what to do. So I'm going to just have relations with a woman. And a man goes, I'm done with a woman and the patience and that. So I'm just going to have relations with a man. It's mutual masturbation. Pardon the term. I know some of you are going, oh, I can't believe you said that in church. But I'll tell you what, if somebody didn't tell you, they're telling them out there. Man, I'm glad my kids aren't here. Well, you better talk to your kids. Yeah, I'm here to tell you that a lot of you don't. And you need to. You need to talk to them. Dad, you need to talk to your daughters and tell them what a man's like. Okay? You need to tell them. Be honest with them. And because you got to lay it out, man. And because the world is definitely on a mission to get out all kinds of perverse information about it. And people are so goofed up on it. We are in such a mess because people aren't listening to what God says about that relationship. And it's an important part of the relationship. It certainly isn't all the relationship, but let's face it. If there wasn't any sex that's involved, you don't need to get married, right? You could be brother and sister. So that's an important part of the relationship. And we've got to know what God says. Otherwise, people get into all kinds of weird stuff. And that's why the homosexuality and the same-sex marriage thing, the lesbianism, that stuff exists because it's finally, you know what? I don't want to deal with what men are like. I don't want to deal with what women are like. I just want to do my own thing, and just it's easier because we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about how to do things and what I like and don't like because men are men and women are women. That's why it's a sin that's a sign of what? The epitome of selfishness. So some of you may be uncomfortable. I can't believe you're saying that in church. But somebody's got to tell you. So, and like I said, you got to tell your kids, okay? And that doesn't make, let me make something very clear. I don't look at a same-sex couple any differently than I look at a couple that's living together, who are heterosexual, who are involved in fornication, who a couple, maybe a guy's committing adultery on his wife. God doesn't look at those sins any differently. They still need the love of God. We need to love them and not look down on them and go, oh, you're weird. They're no weirder. They're caught up in sexual sin just like you would be if you were fornicating and having sex outside of marriage or caught up in porn and something. I mean, it's sin. Sexual sin is sexual sin, okay? It's not like one's really bad and the other's not so bad. No, here's the problem with sexual sin. It's often life-dominating. It's slavery. It enslaves you. Unless it is according to what God's Word says in its proper place within the bonds of marriage between a man and a woman. Period. So don't look at one form of sexual sin as big and the other as weird. And sexual sin is sexual sin, and that's the way it is. And we need to reach out and pray for those that are caught up in it, no matter what form it is. God loves them. God has a plan and a purpose for them, and they need to know that God loves them. And they're not going to know that God loves them unless we love them and care for them. And you don't often, if two people are living in sexual sin, outside of marriage, a man and a woman, you don't walk up and go, you fornicator, you guys are just wretched fornicating sinners. Yeah, that's not usually the approach to take that's actually going to win them. Okay? You need to talk to them and tell them what God's Word says and tell them why God's Word says it. And so we see here that he says, put these things off. Put off passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness. Man, it's not that. That's something that probably if I was going to name the list of sins, that some of you may own up to that one because it doesn't sound as perverse as the rest. Ooh, I don't want to be anybody or no sense. But yes, there are people caught up in them. And sometimes when you're most disgusted with it, it's because you're caught up in it. But the bottom line is covetousness is what? It's seeing somebody's new iPhone. And you have the old one. You go, oh, I wish I... It's not fair. It's just not fair that they get to get that. It's somebody pulling into their driveway in a brand new Mercedes, and you're still driving your 1963 Chevy Impala, which, by the way, probably worth more than that at Mercedes right now, so especially if it's in good shape. So I need to change that illustration. I should have thought that one through a little bit more. But come on. I mean, it's anything. It's you know what? Your friend gets a new living room set and new carpet in their new house. Oh, how much can I take? You're saying. Honey, it's not fair. Why doesn't God do that for us? And they seem to get covetousness. It's a thing that when your children are into it, you go, what's the matter with you? You should be grateful for what you got. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Listen to you. Pay attention to yourself when you're talking to your kids like that. That's one of the things that God really got my attention through with raising children. You know, I go, you guys need to be thankful and grateful. You know how much God has blessed you. And here I am grumping. And I'm listening to myself going, yeah, maybe they get their problem from you. Certainly there's enough sin to go around, isn't there? Watch out for covetousness. Why? Because it turns into idolatry. It turns into the thing, I've got to have the latest and greatest. I've got to have what they have. And you start getting embittered towards God. You get embittered towards your husband, your wife, your children. Because idol, there's something else you want that's not what God wants. And there's no attitude of gratitude. And you start growing bitter because of the idolatry that you're engaged in. You can't be happy, and you're not thanking God for what He's blessed you with, but you're always looking for something else. If I just had this, then I'd be happy. That's the trap of the enemy. And that will rip you off from living the life that God has called you to enjoy, you see. Covetousness is idolatry. It's a problem in the Scriptures. Look what happened to the nation of Israel because of what? Idolatry, repeatedly. He goes, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Because of these things. What things? Because they're living for these things, caught up in these things. Their focus is on these things. Judgment will come. The score will be settled. The consequences will manifest themselves both in this life and in the life to come. And Paul is saying, don't live for those things, and don't allow those things to dominate your life. Put them to death. Not easy. Not easy. Okay? You all know that, as I've talked about, and I certainly know it. None of us have arrived, have we? If you've arrived, come and talk to me after. I'd like to talk to you. Really, truly. I want to see how you've gotten so self-deceived. That's what I want to do. Because none of us have certainly made it. But that's what Paul's talking about, pressing towards that mark. We continue to move in that direction. We continue. Paul said, I die how often? Daily. God, it's not about me today. It's not about making myself feel good today. It's not about what I want today. It's about you. It's about serving. It's about loving. It's about living for heaven's values, you see. That's what it's about. Because God is going to settle the score. And he talks about the fact that we once walked like those who are going to receive the judgment, the wrath of God. We lived those lives, didn't we? And Paul is warning us and encouraging us, warning us, don't keep putting it to death. Excuse me, keep dying to that. But listen, and don't let a people and you know, the world, when they're prospering and everything seems wonderful, like Psalm 73 says, I saw how the wicked prospered, and they're not in pain, and they're not going through the financial crisis I'm going through, and they're not experiencing all the troubles I'm experiencing. God, it seems like I'm following you in vain. Ever feel like that? Paul is reminding them, listen, keep putting them to death, because here's the deal. You may think, and they may think, they're getting away with it. And they may laugh at you because you're having a tougher time and you don't have all the stuff and the goods, and you've chosen to live a sacrificial life and a life for Christ. And while they mock and they laugh and they seem to be on easy street, hey, listen, the score is coming, man. The settling of the score is coming, because the Lord is going, these things are going to bring the wrath of God down on them. And listen, you once lived there, but you're not living there anymore. You're not part of that anymore. But now, in verse 8, he says, you yourselves are to put off all these. And then he goes through and he lists some more areas of sin. He says, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, a slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now he talks to them about putting off certain attitudes, certain activities, certain things that are in the mode of feelings. And he starts with anger. Not a problem for most of you. Until somebody actually does something that gets you angry. You think you're pretty good. Think everything's under control. Until somebody does something that you deem is rude or stupid. And then suddenly, almost without warning, that emotion comes up in you. Paul is saying you need to put it off. And if you put it off, there's also something that you must put on. You see, whenever you take off your old dirty clothes, you got to put on new clothes, right? I mean, hopefully you do that on a regular basis. Take off the dirty stuff, okay, but you don't walk around nude for the rest of your life. You put on the new stuff, the clean stuff. That's the illustration that Paul is giving to us here. He's talking about a process for us as believers. He's talking about the practicalities of how we live this life for Christ. And he's very specific and pointed about how this happens. And it's something we need to know. I like whenever God says, stop doing one thing, he tells us what to start to do in its place. He doesn't leave us like in a vacuum. You need to knock that off. Yeah, Mom and Dad used to do that, right? Knock it off. Well, what should I do instead? I don't know, but knock that off. You know what? I love the fact that God says, hey, I want you to knock that off. And here's what I want you to do in its place. It's not to stop that. I want you to stop that, but here's what I want you to start. So much better than just saying stop, you know. And I would love to get into this tonight, but I'm not going to. Because you know what? I go over time enough. So you know what? I'm going to get you out a little early tonight just to try and make up for those times where I know it will never make up this side of heaven. But be it known, let it go down in history that once Dennis decided to get us out of here before time. Of course, if I keep talking. So let's pray.